Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. I've seen low conduct by Donald Trump, but this has got to come close to taking the cake. On Wednesday, 2 days ago, he was on Fox News. He was on Sean Hannity's show. And Hannity showed some video of body bags in Ukraine. Civilians tortured by the Wagner Group, Islamic terrorists from Syria and Chechnya, and some Russian soldiers retaliating against Ukraine by torturing civilians. And here's Trump's response. Now, if you have a hint of humanity, you would say that's awful. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop the genocide. No, this is not what he said. He said, quote, "I know Putin very well, almost as well as I know you, Sean." And Hannity asked him, quote, "I asked you last time you were on if you think that there is evil in our time. Do you think that this is evil in our time?" You know what Trump did? That's when he didn't answer that, and he attacked NATO. He's shown body bags. He's asked by Sean Hannity. And the odd thing is, Hannity and Tucker Carlson differ on Ukraine. Tucker Carlson supports the genocide by the Russians, says, why aren't we siding with Putin? Hannity stands up and says, Putin is evil. This has got to stop. That's more of the traditional American response, Democrat and Republican. That's what John F. Kennedy would have said, and so would Nixon have said. That's what Eisenhower and Kennedy would have said, Truman would have said. So Hannity shows him the body bags of tortured civilians, and he says, quote, "I asked you last time you were on if you think that there is evil in our time. Do you think that there is evil in our time?" Pointing to the body bags, and Trump attacks NATO and says, "I know Putin very well, almost as well as I know you, Sean." Now, you know, if a guy is not a sociopath and he's shown body bags and asked, is there evil in our time? There's only one response, and there is evil in our time. Originally, it was Hitler. Now it is Putin. The president of Slovakia just said, and he's the first European president to say it, Putin is the new Hitler. All the stuff about negotiations, all the stuff about we don't want to hurt his feelings. Early on, they were going, well, we shouldn't even sanction him personally because he's a head of state. We don't want to rile him up by giving arms and all this. You're dealing with Hitler. You're dealing with Hitler. Hitler gets everybody, better goes, I want the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia because there's some people there I've heard speak German. Okay, well. And they all go, okay. He says, I won't go after anything else. They go, okay, here it is. And then he invades Poland and he invades France. And then he invades Holland, Amsterdam. I mean, at what point does a guy lie to your face? These are not negotiators. This is Hitler. So when you're asked, is there evil in our time? Do you think that there is evil in our time? Trump goes, rails against NATO. Rails against NATO, who's standing up to Putin. And then boasting, I know Putin very well, almost as well as I know you, Sean. This is a sick puppy. This is a very, very sick ranger. Not only can't he be permitted to get back in the presidency, this guy has got to be criminally charged. And I'm not going to get off on this again. Merrick Garland, get off your butt. Yeah, you're waiting for a January 6th committee recommendation, but that's not a legal requirement. You have plenty of evidence. The DA, Alvin Bragg, in New York just took a dive. Somebody got to him, said Trump's innocent and won't prosecute him. People are taking a dive. I don't want to see the Justice Department take a dive. Prosecute Donald Trump. Going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, great show. I wanted to return to a subject that another caller, I believe it was Mark, brought up in the last hour, and that is Republican plans for Social Security, particularly looking at Rick Scott's plans to sunset Social Security and Medicare. I think it's really important that folks realize, I just checked up on the notion, what we have now, where there is a cap on the amount of Social Security tax that a person pays. It's up to $142,000 now, and I think it's really important when people start talking about Social Security is going bankrupt. Oh, this has been a talking point that's been going on for decades, and this effort to privatize Social Security. Number one, you can raise the cap. People can be taxed more on Social Security at the higher ends. I think it's amazing to look at the billionaires and how much of their income isn't touched at all by a Social Security tax, although they expect to collect it if for some reason they need disability insurance or they need to have Social Security. They expect to have it there. So I think it's worth talking about the issue of raising the cap on Social Security before we start talking about junking the program altogether. And I think it's worth looking at the fact of who's behind these efforts to say goodbye to Social Security and what they get out of it and what they can make out of it when people have to rely on the private investment systems. I remember reading one time that this guy, investment banker on in New York, was talking about how the glee that he had about if Social Security were privatized. He said, "I can't wait to get my hands on all that big, dumb money." And that's how they see us. They just see us as a something to be exploited. And boy, there are ways to strengthen Social Security and not sunset it. So I'm curious to your reactions to that.
Yeah, that is perfect. Perfect. Very profound. Look, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. The Republican Party was opposed to it in 1935. They voted against it when Roosevelt put it in. Ron Johnson calls it a Ponzi scheme because he says you pay in, and if you die before you draw it, you get out of your money. But if you live to be 110, you get a lot more than you put in. So it's a Ponzi scheme. That's false. But Rick Scott is very dangerous. He's the senator from Florida. He's also the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee. He's the guy that took the Fifth Amendment in a Medicare fraud case against his company. His company was fined $1 billion. And so they're looking at the president, and he goes in front of a grand jury, and they go, "You know, what did you know about this?" And he said, quote, "I refuse to answer on the grounds that might incriminate me," end quote. Sneaks out. Then he runs for governor, and people go, he took the Fifth, and Florida doesn't care. Now he's in the Senate. He has proposed phasing out Social Security and Medicare. That's his platform. He could end up on the ticket, at least as vice president. The reason he's doing that is guys like that don't need either one of them because they're billionaires, in his case, because he took the Fifth in front of a grand jury. But the problem is, the reason for Social Security, through the 1920s, there are people in rural areas, in urban areas, literally starving, and they had no income, and we were impoverished. Social Security brought people out of poverty. Number two, your idea is exactly right. We saved Medicare between Reagan and Tip O'Neill by extending the income on which you would apply the Medicare tax. Social Security is cut off at 140 grand. So if you make 10 million a year, you're only paying Social Security on 140. Why not extend that too? That would save it forever. And all you are doing is doing what you're doing Medicare for upper income individuals. And if you want to do a donut, you could say something like, all right, it's up to 140, then it doesn't reapply till 400 or something. Not that I think those people need relief, but we are easily able to solve this. It's not going insolvent, and it is the core of the middle class in this country. Joe, thanks a lot for calling in. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to a break.
I walk the line because you're mine.